territory which was called Arizona in the year of 1829 was the camp of the Bedonko tribe of Warm Springs Apache Indians. In that same year, as the summer suns warmed the sands of the desert and brought flower to the yucca and the cactus, an eighth child was born to the squaw Juana, a son who was named Goclia, he who yawns. And Nolgi was the teacher of Goclia. It was he who taught the young Apache to fashion bow and arrows, to creep silently through the forest. Now, also in that time, came the white men from the east to dig for iron near Santa Rita. Ranchers were in the valleys, and soldiers from the land of Mexico rode through the desert and the mountains. This was a time of trouble between the Indian and the white man and the soldiers of Mexico. And when word was brought to the Bedonkas that their warriors returned from the warpath, young Goclia and Ane and Cunha and the other young Apaches would sit in the shadows of the wickiups and listen to the voice of the chief Mangus Coloradus, Red Sleeves, as he spoke to his people.
Listen well to me, warriors of the Bedonko. Now we mourn those of our brothers who have gone to join their fathers. But tomorrow we will ride forth again with bow and spear. And the day beyond tomorrow and beyond that. And so will it be until our enemy is driven back to the land which lies to the south and to the east. Until the land which is ours will once again be free.
But the peace of which Mangus spoke was not to come for many moons. More soldiers crossed the border from Mexico, and more copper mines were opened in the hills by the white man. Still, Goclia grew and trained for the day when he would be a warrior for the Apaches. Then came the time of trial, when he was sent into the desert for 14 days without food or water, to live as he could. And he ate of the rabbit which he killed with his arrows, and he drank of the water, which Nolgi had taught him lies deep within the heart of the cactus. And in 14 days he returned strong and well, and he was called Warrior. This was in the year of 1846, the year in which the Great White Father in Washington declared war on the country of Mexico. Through the Arizona Territory rode the American soldiers, and Mangus offered help when he could. For were not the Mexicans enemies of both the Apaches and the American soldiers? Then came the time when Goclia, now grown to young manhood, thought to take the maiden Alopa as his wife. As was the custom of the Apaches, he tied four of his best horses outside the wickiup in which Alopa dwelled. If she led the horses to the stream to drink, it was a sign that she would be the wife of Goclia. Through the night he waited and watched, and with the coming of the sun, Alopa came from the wickiup, and releasing the horses, led them to the stream. So did Alopa become the wife of Goclia, and helped him build their wickiup far from that of her father. No longer did the warriors of the Apaches go on the warpath, and it seemed that the words of Goclia were spoken in truth. This was in the year of 1848, when the Great White Father in the city of Washington signed a treaty with the country of Mexico, putting an end to their wars. So the Apaches also lived in peace. But it was not to last. For in the same year, on the banks of the American River in California, gold was discovered. And the greed of the white man drove him westward like birds before the storm. Some traveled through the Indian lands of Arizona and New Mexico. Some remained to build ranches. Some who found no gold in California also returned when gold was discovered near the abandoned copper mines of the Mexicans at Santa Rita. When the Apaches claimed the land to be theirs, many were killed. And many also were the prospectors who were killed. And then it was that the chief, Mangus, called together his council.
The white men come to Santa Rita to take the yellow iron from our land. For what purpose, I cannot say. But when the last of the yellow iron is gone, they will return to their homes. It is for this reason I urge no war on the white man. I know of a place in the Mother Mountains to the south where the yellow iron is great. I will go to the white men at Santa Rita. I will lead them to this place. And they will leave Santa Rita, and our weapons will remain quiet.
So Mangus went to the camp of the white man at Santa Rita, and Goclea remained in hiding to watch.
I don't believe he's telling us.
I, Mangus Coloradus, chief of the Bedonko tribe, do not lie. It is true. There to the south in the Mother Mountains, which you call the Sierra Madre, lies earth rich with yellow gold. To us, the Apaches, it means nothing. But if you will dig for it as you dig here at Santa Rita, it is yours. And I will take you to it. I swear on the spirit of my fathers, I tell you the truth.
He lies! He wants us to clear out of here so his people can have a copper for themselves.
No, this is not the truth.
Would you take the word of an Indian and Apache? They're all the same. Once he gets us away from Santa Rita, he'll lead us into an ambush. And we'll all end up with an arrow in our backs. You come here with your Indian lies, and you think we're stupid enough to believe them. Well, we got a way to deal with you Indians.
That's right.
It's about time you were taught a lesson. Our Indian friend here needs a little back warming.
With a rope, they tied the hands of Mangus to the low limb of a tree so that his toes just touched the ground. Then he who was the leader seized a black snake whip and lashed it across the back of Mangus. But no sound came from Mangus' lips. Again the whip sang through the air. And again. And from his hiding place, Goclea watched, and anger filled his throat. Mangus was just and honorable, a leader of his people. But Mangus was unwise in the ways of the white man who had no honor. When the striking of the whip had numbered 100, then was Mangus cut down. Though pain filled his body, he said nothing, but straight as an arrow, he walked from the camp of the white man to the place where Goclea lay hidden. Only then did he falter and fall into Goclea's arms.
It is time, Goclea. Light the fires on the mountains to summon all our tribes. The Apaches will take the war path against the white man.
So were the signal fires lit, and to the camp of Mangus at Warm Springs came the Mescalero Apaches. Came 40 braves from Cochise, chief of the Chiricahua tribe, the Tontos, the White Mountain Sioux, the Pinas. So it began, and before many moons passed, those among the white men who had not died left the territory near Santa Rita. And once more, Mangus' people were at peace. But a great tragedy was to strike the Bedonko tribe of the Apaches, which would send them on the warpath for many moons. Now it was the custom for the Apaches in certain months to take their buffalo skins and their hides and journey to the border towns to trade these things for food and provisions. So it was that Mangus, with 80 warriors and their wives and their children, set out for the town of Casas Grandes over the border in the country of Mexico. With Goclea went his mother, Juana, his wife, Alopa, and their three small ones. The families remained in a camp outside Casas Grandes, the old ones, the wives, and the children, while Mangus and his warriors rode into the town to trade. It must be remembered that the Mexicans and the Indian nations were no longer at war, but they were Mexican soldiers in the fort at Casas Grandes, who remembered that their government still offered a reward for the scalp of an Indian man woman, or child. So it was that as the warriors among us traded in the town of Casas Grandes, the soldiers silently moved into the camp of the Apaches with drawn bayonets. Great would be their reward this day. When Mangus and his warriors returned to the camp, they found their people dead. The old ones, the wives, the children. None had been spared. Great was their rage and sorrow. And when they had carried their dead back to the camp at Warm Springs and mourned for them, then to the camp of Cochise rode Goclea to tell him of Manga's plan for vengeance. 10 lives, 100, for each one they had lost. Then came Cochise and his 200 warriors to the camp of Manga's, and came also Woa, chief of the Mescalero tribe, and his braves. And when all was ready, the Apaches rode toward the border. Then, with their weapons, they slipped silently through the foothills until they came to the edge of Casas Grandes. All night they lay hidden and waited. At sunrise, the Mexican soldiers came from the fort of Llanos. And then did Goclea raise his spear and call out,
"For me!"
From their hiding places rode hundreds of braves and raced with Goclea into the town. With knives and arrows and spears, they fought the soldiers. And when their weapons were gone, they fought with their hands. For 2 hours, the battle raged. And with the thoughts of his dead fresh in his memory, fought Goclea like one filled with madness. Seizing the saber of a fallen soldier, he slashed his way through the enemy until they ran in fear from this Apache warrior with madness in his eyes. And as they ran, a word of warning was shouted from their lips to warn the others.
He's warning them!
So was the vengeance of the Apaches satisfied. And so was born the fiercest warrior of the Apaches, Geronimo, a legend which would be hated and feared, admired and respected. Then for a time did the Apaches continue their war on the white man, until the soldiers who had been sent to protect the white men of the Arizona Territory from the Indians abandoned their forts and set out for the land to the east. For a great war had begun there, a war in which white man killed white man, brother slew brother. It was the war which the white man called the War Between the States. With the white man gone, peace again rode the territory of Arizona. But when the War Between the States was ended, again came the white man, more than before, and hatred was on both sides. But the hatred of Geronimo was the strongest. And when the chief, Mangus Colorados, was slain as he again spoke of peace, the hatred of Geronimo grew stronger yet. 100 of the white man's ranches were destroyed to pay for Mangus' life. And now fought Geronimo and Cochise together. Geronimo fought to fulfill a promise he had made to himself in the town of Casas Grandes.
We will fight until the white man is no more.
But for Cochise, there was another reason to fight. He fought only until peace would at last be made with the white man. And when the time came for the Apache chiefs to sit in council with agents for the Great White Father in Washington, it was Cochise who faced the chiefs and warriors of the Apache tribes and again spoke of peace. But Geronimo and his 50 warriors still rode the warpath. New settlers came to the Arizona Territory, and resentment among them grew as they looked about at the rich land which belonged to the Indians. In time, their resentment grew until it echoed in the ears of the Great White Father, who sent word to the soldiers in the Arizona Territory to move the Chiricahua Apaches of Cochise to San Carlos. For now their land was to belong to the white man. Then a plan was formed in the mind of Geronimo. He would surrender himself and his warriors to the American soldiers at San Carlos. And with the soldiers no longer in pursuit, he could speak with the young braves at San Carlos and put into their minds doubts about the promises of the white man. But many of the young braves had learned to live the peaceful ways of the white man, and only 50 heeded the words of Geronimo. Then came the day when Geronimo set out in all haste for the protection of the hills of the Mother Mountains to the south of the border. But again the American soldiers followed, and this time they had sworn an oath to see an end to Geronimo. For 6 moons they followed Geronimo from hiding place to hiding place, until at last, in the summer days of the year 1887, Geronimo, he who had seen 58 winters, tired of battle and wished to speak of peace. So it was that mighty warriors of the Apaches sat in council with the white man's General Miles.
I wait to hear your words, Geronimo.
It is time to leave the warpath. But first we must hear terms of white man.
We make no terms with you. You mistrust us.
We will not trust you. We have trusted white man's words before, and they have brought us death.
And have you not brought death upon yourself? Have you not burned and stolen and killed?
And what of the white man? What of his treachery and his cruelty?
Listen to me, Geronimo. There have been men of evil and cruelty among the white men, men of whom we are ashamed, men who have been punished for what they have done. I'm certain there have been such men among your Indian tribes. But what has happened, we wish to forget. Now we would make all white men and men of all Indian nations brothers. Here, take my hand as a sign of peace, Geronimo. Let us put an end to hatred between us.
It is done. We will lay down our arms.
So was ended the wars of the Apache warrior, Geronimo. With the passing of many moons, he accepted the peace of the white man. And it was good. And as he lived out his days, which numbered 80 in years, he remembered all that had gone before. The warriors who had followed him. Nolgi, his teacher. His friends, Anne and Cunha. His mother, Juana. Alopa and the children. And Cochise, who first spoke to him of peace with a white man. He remembered. And the hatred was gone from his heart. So ends the legend of Goklia. He who yawns, the mighty warrior of the Apaches, whom the soldiers of Mexico had named Geronimo.